Today, what I want to talk about is the fatherless. Most of us would, you know, describe anybody fatherless as lacking in something, and or lacking a parent, lacking rearing, lacking love. But while I'm not advocating for people to be fatherless, of course, what I do want to emphasize is how God is not the father of lack. So he expects us, if we lack anything, to come to him. So in James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So one thing about fatherless people, you know, sometimes in the Bible it says the fatherless child, but it mostly says fatherless, you know, which I would assume to be to comprise of the young and of the old, you know, the older of us that were fatherless or are fatherless. And one thing about me doing this podcast is that I was very uncomfortable with knowing that a part of my calling would be to discuss personal matters, would be discussing things that I went through. But I know that God allowed me to overcome it for his glory, for his testimony, because God thrives in testimonies. And of course, me, you know, I was very uncomfortable with even discussing things that I lacked, you know, or discussing the pretty much the results of a lack in my life and what that looked like, what it entailed, what my struggles were as a result of me lacking anything. And so I was very uncomfortable with that part. It was like, God, okay, I see that you want me to do a ministry. I'm cool with talking about, you know, the Bible or to get people to repent, but I wasn't really fully comfortable with the method that I felt he was calling me to do it, you know, which would be the part of me disclosing things that were very uncomfortable to me. But I know that a part of, you know, if God chooses you for a purpose or he has a calling for us, and I'm not saying that we don't all have that purpose, but I do know that we won't all adhere to the purpose and the calling that God has on our lives, because mostly it's uncomfortable. It calls for us to do things that, you know, go against what we were intending for our life. You know, we may have saw our lives being one way and going in one direction, and God had a completely different plan. And a lot of times the plan, we've deviated so far away from it that going with the plan that God has, it requires a lot of obedience. It requires a lot of discipline. It requires a lot of separation. Sometimes it requires a lot of loneliness and isolation. That is rigorous at first. You know, I experienced a lot of that, and I was like, God, this is brutal. But it was part of my pruning process, because I told him and I said, okay, I'll accept this calling and I'll accept what it entails. But, you know, nobody said that it would be pleasant. You know, it has been a blessing in all ways, you know, but in a lot of ways it's been brutal, because it's been a very abrupt about face that I've had to do. So in part of that, you know, I was just very, you know, uncomfortable with it. You know, I would resist a lot, and it's like, no, Jillian, say this, and I'm like, no, God, I'm not ready. I can't, you know, I'm uncomfortable. You know, I don't even know this person. Why do you want me to tell them this? And then in most instances when he told me to do that, he showed me, even in that instance, you know, when he would tell me to say something to a person and I didn't know it was a stranger, and I'm like, this girl is gonna think I'm crazy. But even in that, he would show me that he had already been working on that person. You know, he called me to, or led me, I would say, to speak to a girl about coming out of a sorority that I used to once be a member of. And when I'm like, look, I don't know you, you know, God wants you out of your sorority. The first thing the girl said, and it really like tripped me out, was, I know, you know. And that was like God's way of showing me that she already knew, meaning that I was at least the second person to come to her, if not the third or fourth or fifth, who knows. But I'm saying this to say that, you know, a lot of the calling that you may have, you know, requires a lot of obedience, and it's not always going to be something that is easy, I should say. So for me, one of the bigger things that I've struggled with is talking about personal things. But I know that, you know, if God calls me to be obedient, I have to. But nobody said that it would be enjoyable all the time. So with that said, my father was not in my life. And I should rephrase that. He was in my life, in and out, and wreaking havoc in it most of the time. So he's probably been passed away maybe about 10 years, but our relationship was like it was very toxic. And when he passed, he went off on me before he passed away. And so that was my last conversation with him. And that was just something that was stuck in my head. And all I could think about was, wow, he passed away. He didn't apologize. We didn't rectify the situation. If he was to mature past this and grow up, you know, and step up to maybe be, if not a good father, maybe a grandfather, you know, later on in life, that opportunity was gone. And I felt, you know, bad about that, you know, and not so much bad, but just more lack. So I went through a period of all of my life feeling rejected, feeling like I had a stigma of that, you know, I would not be, you know, as successful as the other people around me who grew up with both of their parents in the house, or, you know, under less dysfunctional terms. And I felt like I always had to do more to prove that I was just as normal as everybody else. I was not uncomfortable with feeling like I wasn't normal. But now I've come to understand that, you know, God has such a plan for the rejected. You know, he's very close to the brokenhearted. He has a close affinity to the fatherless, you know. And so once I really accepted that, you know, it took me years, like well into my 30s, to understand that, you know, God had a plan for me and was right there the whole time. I had to really repent for the complaining part of it, because yeah, my life didn't look like everybody else's. It probably was far more tumultuous than other people's, but what it was in the grand scheme of things was God was even closer to me than what I realized. Because when you're fatherless, God steps right in. It's like God comes right in and fights your battles in a way that even the best father is incapable of. You know, even a good father, you know, a very proactive father, involved father, you know, is limited by the laws of nature. You know, he's bound to nature. He's bound and he's limited by what he knows or what he understands. No matter how good his intentions are to be an involved parent, he's still limited. Where God is boundless, he has nothing that he cannot do. He can't do, you know, nothing he can't heal. You know, no understanding is, you know, it's too complicated for him, or no problem is too complex that he cannot solve. So once I really understood that, wow, I am truly a daughter of God, and you know, I have a purpose. I have a purpose that he designed me for, you know, and allow these opportunities and these experiences, even though I saw them as negative and I saw it as shameful and all of these different things, you know, I felt that I was always put in a position to have to prove my worth to everybody, because that's all I knew. That's all I felt all the time in whatever area it was. It was even situations that wasn't called for me to feel rejected, and I still felt rejected because, you know, Satan was trying to use that as an opportunity for me to feel shame and condemnation, you know. But ultimately, God wins in the end, just like every other battle God is involved in. He wins in the end, because, you know, had I not had those experiences and had I not felt the shame and the need to, you know, develop myself and all of those different things that I felt I needed to do, that pulled me, it really did pull me in dark places. But what it did was pulling me in those dark places and those low places. For one, when I would pull out to God to pull me out of those dark places, I had experience of learning about a multitude of different things, you know, being that I was involved in a lot of different things that I learned very deeply about, you know. I spent my wheels a lot, you know. I was truly the girl that, you know, was constantly learning and never coming to the knowledge thereof. You know, that was truly me, because I was constantly looking for different ways to advance or develop myself, not ever really being satisfied with the product that I was at the time. And in one way, that's good, but in another way, it's very unhealthy, because you're constantly not satisfied because you already have it in your mind that you are not enough. So once I came to the fact that I am truly a daughter of the Most High, you know, he steps right in to fight the battle of being fatherless for me. You know, he's very close to me being brokenhearted about that. You know, I thought about me in terms of how I started to relate to other people. You know, do I look at other people when I interact with them as God's sons and daughters? You know, or am I looking at people, you know, as the brokenhearted, or the fatherless, or the orphan? You know, am I considering that, even though I'm dealing with adults, we were all once children, and most of our childhood things we're battling right now in our adulthood. Am I viewing people in the way that God is viewing me? So when I went through, I would call it a purging process, a purification or sanctification process. It was more so a purification process of my mind and my heart more than anything, because yeah, I still look like Jillian. I still, you know, talk the same way, maybe not in the same context or even the same subject, but just because I look the same way, or, you know, seem to be the same, everything is different in terms of how I now have to view God's creations. I have to respect myself in a way where I understand that I am a daughter of the Most High personally, and I have to treat myself as a person that I cannot neglect myself or think that I should waste time overachieving or over fulfilling or over whatever, and not be trying to be in the will of God, my Father, the one who stepped in for me when my father bounced. So I'm saying that, you know, to really reiterate that for, you know, reiterate that for people who feel like they don't understand what their worth is. And it could have came from, you know, being fatherless as a child, or being adopted, or some orphan, or being having constant rejection or abandonment. That these things are heartbreaking, that is the time where God is the closest to you, and it's best that you capitalize on that, that you understand that it's a responsibility that comes with God being so close to you like that. You know, it's a responsibility for him to be, you know, choosing to fight your battles personally, the same way it is for the Israelites to understand that they're chosen and have to act as such. It's a responsibility when God is that close to you. It's a privilege, and you have to act like that, and you have to respect all of God's creations, but first of all, yourself, because, you know, it's a hard thing. It's a really hard thing to turn around or recondition your mind when you accepted a lie of Satan that you're worthless because you're fatherless, because one somebody did not handle you properly, you know. And then what'll happen is, you know, he'll send you more people to mishandle you. He'll send people at your job, you know, other family members, partners, to continue it, to make it, you know, to keep it going, so that you believe this lie, like, well, everywhere I go, it's this problem. You know, you become used to it. And so if he can trick you into getting used to it, then you'll accept, you know, abuse. And so one thing that has helped me is to first, you know, make sure you're looking at yourself as a child of God, you know, and accepting the responsibility that comes as a result of being a child of God, that comes as a result of knowing that God is there chastising you. He's chastising his own. So as you feel convicted for things that you're doing, that's God. Stop. You know, that's your opportunity to stop. Repent. You know, do what's pleasing to God. Look at other people as sons and daughters of the Most High, and not a come up or a benefit or somebody you could take advantage of. You know, look at the respect that, you know, God has for his creation. So if God has this respect and it's up to God how he handles his creations, you have to respect them as well. And the first person you need to respect like that is yourself. So when anybody that's fatherless like myself, you know, it took me a long time to understand my purpose and who I was with Christ and let that define me and not the world, not my father, not, you know, relationships, not, you know, a job. Let the defining, you know, factor in my life be the Most High all the time with everything. So now when I, you know, it's like you almost get spoiled. You ask God questions like, girl, you don't have to ask me that. You ain't been asking me that. But now it's like I want to ask you everything to get clarity, because I never had the opportunity, or I would say the training, to know that I would have someone there to chastise me, you know, to go to for advice, you know, just like, you know, with James 1:5, you know, if you lack in anything, if you lack in wisdom, ask God, you know, ask God for what you need. If it's clarity, if it's wisdom, if it's freedom from oppression, whatever it is, I had a father in heaven that had no limitations on him to ask for when my father, or, you know, forsake me. So, you know, when I think of all of these scriptures that talk about the fatherless, we don't really spend a lot of time there, because maybe people think that they were talking about little kids. But a little kid that grows up fatherless, you know, and raises himself, is still the fatherless. You know, you're not any less fatherless because you're grown. So I hope that helps somebody with that, because it really is a hard thing. It's hard to forgive things like that you don't understand, especially if you're a parent and you have a completely different outlook on your child. Like, you wouldn't leave them. It's hard to be able to forgive or accept why someone would do that, but that's all the more reason to forgive. You know, God gave me the revelation that my father was just not capable. You know, he was not capable of what I was going to become to be able to rear me in that way. His purpose was to conceive me, and that's pretty much where it ended. Sometimes that doesn't make sense to everybody, and it's like, well, that was a part of his free will. Yeah, but through that, God did so much. You know, who's to say what my life would have been like with my father? But based off a lot of his actions and a lot of the ways that he went about doing things, I knew that for what I was to become, He did his job. And that might sound strange, but, you know, it really is the truth. Just look at Abraham and Sarah. That's like my favorite story in the Bible, because Sarah was an idolater. You know, Abraham had to correct his own father and say, hey, why are you making all of these idols for a living? You know, they can't walk, they can't talk, they don't eat, they can't smell, they don't do anything. And you making these idols, you know, worshiping them and bowing down to them, they can't do nothing for you. And so Abraham had to correct his own father. You know, Abraham's Terah had no sense in comparison to Abraham. And sometimes that's how it is. You know, you may know more than your parents, and oddly enough, because of your parents' choices or because of the calling that God may have on you. And so because it seems as though you're lacking, God made sure to take care of you through all of that. I'm still alive to repent. I'm still alive to talk on a podcast to encourage somebody else to repent, to encourage somebody else to seek God, you know, in place of where you expect, you know, your rearing to come from, your support to come from. Sometimes you expect your support to come from your parents or your grandparents or your friends or your husband or your girlfriend, whatever. But God will give you everything that you need if you seek the kingdom first. And it's just really tripped out, because the way I was called by God was very creative. But I mean, you can't expect the creator not to be creative. You know, he's creative with the way he calls us. He's creative with the way he forms us. You know, he's creative with the way he chastises us. You know, so it's really like, if he is chastising you and you are facing trials, it's a blessing because he chastises his own. And so it's basically a manifestation, you know, of a father chastising his child. Same thing. So I hope that this helps and encourages you to repent, to accept that you are a child of God, even fatherless, orphaned, widowed, widower. You know, God is close to the brokenhearted. God is not the father of lack. As you feel like you lack in something, God is the ultimate replacement. So I hope that helps somebody, and God bless.